Good morning, everyone. Did you have a good Christmas? Oh, okay. I did. It's good to be back, though. If you'd open your Bibles to two places, we're going to be in Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand so I can hand one to you. Psalm 24 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So we finally made it to the end of the year. 2018 is just about gone. It's the last weekend of the year. And I want to ask you a question. Are you glad it's over? Or do you look back at the year? That's one. Or do you look back at the year and see all that the Lord has accomplished through you? All the things that happened, all the new adventures, new experiences that we've had. So every time we come to a new year, I always think it's funny that we think there's something magical in the new year. As if the calendar is going to change one day and then our entire lives are going to change. But I guess in some some senses, we want to have that hope. We want to believe that there's going to be something better for 2019. You see, for some of us, we're ready for another chance. Another chance to do things better, to be better, to perhaps be a better husband or a better wife, to be a better father or to be a better mother, or just to be a better Christian. To let our faith be out there more this year in 2019. I don't know what it is that you want, but when we look at a new year, we just want something new. It's a new beginning. And it's in that vein that I want to talk this morning about the heart of generosity. To be people that are giving. As Christians, we should be the most giving people, the most loving people, because we've been given so much and we've been loved so much by God. And so it's this reminder at the end of the year as we look to 2019, maybe you've got a list of things that you want to be better at. Maybe there's a list of things that you want to do differently this year. But I hope somewhere along the lines, you're also asking God to use you and to move through you. Just as Pastor RJ said, as he shared, to use us. And now here's the thing. I don't want this to be a burden in the sense that maybe God is already using you. And maybe you don't even know it. But maybe you just want to be able to feel the impact or feel that change, that difference that's going to happen. In the book of Revelation, I love this verse. Let me pull it up here real quick, sorry. I don't know about you, but this kind of verse gets me all excited. It says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" Jesus said that. God said that. Is there anyone in this room that needs something to be new for them? Is there someone in this room that wants to see something change? Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's a relationship. Something. When God says, "Behold, I make all things new," that's a hope and an encouragement for all of us that he can make things new. And let's believe that he will. Let's believe that he will make things new. See, the time we spend here on earth is all about doing our very best, right? But here's a great reminder. Our very best can sometimes not go that well. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? You do your very best, but you never feel like you measure up. You always feel like you failed. You always feel like you maybe fell short. See, I think that's how sometimes we feel before God, because God has done so much for us that we want to do so much maybe for God or for others. But never can we do it the way we feel like God would equip us to do it. But the reality is that we just got to do our very best and leave the outcome to God. Because we can get so discouraged and we can get so defeated when we think about everything I did this year just didn't make it. Nothing stuck. Nothing made an impact. Nobody's lives changed. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like you're just kind of going through the motions? It's called burnout. As a Christian, we get burnt out. And I think sometimes we just need to rest in the fact that we're saved by God, and let's just enjoy our salvation enough to let God use us. Because we can get so discouraged. Well, it was this Christmas, I received a card from a family, also a letter from another family in our church. And it so spoke to my heart. so encouraging to know that someone said, I appreciate this church. I appreciate the people that are in this church because my life has changed because of this church. Because that's what I desire as a pastor, is that this church would make a difference, that this church would impact the community of Brentwood or your neighborhood or your workplace. By the systematic teaching of the Word of God, that your life would be changed radically so that you change your circumstances and the circumstances of people around you. It's good to know that, isn't it? Listen, we don't do good so that we get the pat on the backs, but I've always said the pat on the backs are what help us to continue to do what we feel God has called us to do. And maybe some of us in this room got to stop feeling burnt out and trying to achieve a expectation that you or God has never set. And just be you. See, to me, as I look back at 2018 as a church, I see our church in 2018 as the year of recovery. The year of recovery, because it was in the end of 2017 we finally sold our church property that was a financial burden for our small church. And so I look back at 2018, and surely I wanted other things. I wanted things to maybe go a little bit differently for us. But I also see God's restoration. I see Him giving us recovery. As I look at the end of the year, and I go, Lord, we're here. We made it through another year. Now, I will tell you, as I look at the books at the end of the year, as of last report, we missed our budget by $19,000. And that might seem like a lot of money to you, and it is. But it's the best year we've had in a long time as a church. We almost broke even. We almost had enough money come in for the expenses that we had. And that's why I want to share this morning about what this church is expecting in 2019, what I feel God's put on my heart for 2019. Because the reality is we all are a part of this. This is not my deal. This is not me going out there and trying to make enough money that this church will succeed. It's to me to encourage you in the Word of God so that you'll be faithful to the Lord in the things that He's blessed in your life. So if you're here this morning and you're a faithful tither to this church, thank you. This is not a message of give more. Come on, how much is your faith? How much do you believe in God? It's not that. Be faithful to God, because I've learned in my life, you can't outgive God. And if you truly have received the true gift from the Lord, that's salvation, that's the greatest gift you could ever receive, you want to be a giving person. We serve a giving God. And so we need to be giving people. I am believing that this year for 2019 is going to be a year of restoration. Year of restoration. It's funny because this kind of came upon my heart this week, over the Christmas week and over the Christmas break. It's like, Lord, what is it you want me to communicate? And this word restoration came. And I've always loved this verse in Joel. It says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. He goes on and talks about other leeks. These are their enemies. And God is telling the children of Israel, I'm going to restore the years where your enemies succeeded over you, that they defeated you. I'm going to restore those years. And as I look at this verse, it ministers to my heart that the years that we owned that property, God's going to restore it. So I'm going to ask you to believe with me and to pray. God, restore us. Raise up people in the church. Raise up people that'll serve each other. As I love that Pastor RJ communicated, that we feel like family and we're there for each other. Guys, we're here for you. We're here to serve you as pastors, as the ministers in this church. We're here to serve you. But that's not just to serve you so that you're taken care of. It's so that you'll rise up and serve others as well. So to have that mindset, a year of restoration starts with all of us. It has to be all of us. What this church has to offer this community, or this world, or even the children in Haiti, all come in that box in the back. Nobody gives us a check each month to pay our bills. There's not a higher church that sends us money. Whatever comes in that box and whatever comes in through online giving is all the resources that we have to minister. It has to take care of administrative expenses, rent, salaries, all those things. And if we just have enough to pay our bills, we don't have a lot to give. Can you play the these pictures came in from Suzelle. It might be hard to see. Yeah, they probably are going to be hard to see. But these are the children opening the boxes that you guys gave for Christmas. There's videos that were too big for me to load here, but these kids were overjoyed. These kids were so blessed. Yeah, it's going to be hard to see it. But what I'm thinking of actually either putting those on our website or actually printing them out and put them in the back this year, just so we're reminded. Guys, when I see pictures like this, when I see the work that we're doing in Haiti, it gets me excited to do more. And if we have enough resources, enough financial resources to meet our administrative needs and more, then we can make greater impact. Suzelle's ministry, that's another one. That's self-sustained, only by people that donate. So it's a heart of giving, it's a heart of generosity, and it's not, this is where I think some people miss it. Tithing is not another bill you pay. Tithing is the first thing that you give to God as an act of worship. It's the joy of being able to give to God. So change your mindset, because I'm amazed at people that say, well, number one, I can't afford to tithe. I don't make enough money. And then there's the one that says, I make so much money, it'd be terrible for me to tithe. And I'm like, I never understood that one. It's like, you make too much money to tithe. I've heard it all now. What is the perfect amount? Yeah, what is? But here's the reality. These kids that we served is because of a generous heart. And my heart is in this ministry, I can tell you that. I love the fact that God has called me to this church, but I love that God has raised up a school in Haiti to minister to these kids and to minister to this community. And I feel we can do a greater impact. I would love to see us do that. We're talking about doing this for Easter. Same thing, to give to the kids during Easter. We want to let them know that we love them, that we care about them. And we want their lives to change. I want to stand here 5-10 years from now and say one of these kids was raised up and is now a pastor in Haiti. I would love that. And I would love to see people rise up in this church, become pastors, leaders, servants. If we pray together and if we seek the Lord together, we'll do exactly what he's asked. I'm not asking you to do more than God tells you to do. When people ask me, Pastor Rob, what does this church need? You tell me what to do and I'll do it. I said, well, you keep praying and asking God till he shows you. Because if I ask you, you'll do it in the flesh. If God asks you, you'll do it in the spirit. And I believe you'll do it till the day you die, or until God changes it. Generosity. Psalms 24, first two verses. To me, foundational to an attitude of generosity as in these two verses. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and all those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who owns everything? Who owns everything? God. God owns everything. He actually owns you. And when you have that foundation, when you understand that everything that you possess is God's, it changes your attitude. The money that you give in generosity is actually coming from God. To be able to give in the name of God, to be able to give to someone and to support either a church or someone in the world, is say, this is from the Lord. That's the thing that really matters. James Kraft, the head of Kraft Cheese Corporation, who has given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years, said, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. Can we say that? Can we stand here and say, everything that I've done, everything I've invested in, everything I've put my money in, the only thing that has consistently given me return is the money that I've given to God? Now, you might be sitting here and go, well, we give it to the church. Listen. When you give to the ministry, you give to the Lord. Tithe is first. There's other opportunities out there for giving. Be a generous person. Doesn't stop with the tithe, which is 10%, just like James Kraft realized. He wanted to give 25% of his income to the work of the Lord. I just think it's so important that we mindfully think, God, I'm giving you back what's yours, and I'm getting credit for it. I think it's an amazing deal. And I've said all the time, people get so hung up on the 10%. 10% of my income is a lot, which I usually turn around and say, 90% is actually a lot too, isn't it? We don't think of it like that. I think generosity has to be a change of thinking. It always brings a return. The definition of generosity is right here. Generosity is the virtue of being unattached to material possessions. As soon as I start thinking something is mine, then I'm not going to be generous. I'm not going to give you what's mine. I'm going to give you what's lent to me from the Lord. Are we being good stewards in this area? When it comes to giving and comes to tithing, you must make a plan. Don't we plan everything in our lives? I don't know about you, but if I pulled up my calendar, I could show you every meeting and every appointment that I have sitting on my calendar. I plan my week out, because if I don't, I'll miss every appointment. So if we make a plan for everything else, we plan parties, we plan going out to movies, we plan get-togethers, we plan going to dinner, we plan when we're going to eat. You're probably already thinking, 11:30 is coming, we need to get to the restaurants. We're planners. Plan to give, and guess what? You'll give. If you're waiting to have enough money to give, you'll never have enough. The more you have, maybe you've learned this in your life. Some of you are a lot younger than me. I'm 53 years old, and I've learned the more I make, the more I can spend. And if I don't make a plan to give systematically, I won't give. If you're waiting for the right time, it just won't happen. When material things of life are placed first, God is usually excluded. When you're planning for material things, you forget about God. But when the kingdom of God is placed first, God sees to it that all your needs are met. You can write these down. Two Proverbs. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." God keeps good books. He knows when you give to others. Proverbs 28:27 says, "He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses." Be a generous person. Take the things that God has given to you and place them upon the altar and say, "Lord, how can I spend your money more effectively?" If you want to do something better this year, maybe this is one thing that's on your list. Be more generous, be more giving, be more mindful of people around you. And I know how hard this is, because we're so concerned with ourselves. Well, what if I give away too much? I won't have enough for me. God won't let that happen. God won't let that happen. I have never overgiven. I've thought I've overgiven, but God quickly reminds me, it's mine, it's not yours. We all sometimes think about the things that we've given to people and go, they still owe me. We can't have that attitude. Can't have that attitude. A story is told that one day a beggar by the roadside asked for alms from Alexander the Great as he passed by. The man was poor and wretched and had no claim upon the ruler, no right even to lift a solicitous hand. Yet the emperor threw him several gold coins. The king's companion was astonished at his generosity and commented, "Sir, copper coins would have adequately met a beggar's need. Why give him gold?" I love this response. Alexander responded in royal fashion, "Copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving." I love that. If we just give enough, if we're not being generous, if we're just meeting a need, then maybe that we're portraying a picture that's not showing us as generous people. Think about that. Think about that. When you tip a waitress or a waiter for a meal, consider how that can impact them. When you're giving to a ministry, consider the impact. 10% is a start. I believe the more you give, the more God will give to you. I've seen it happen in my life. That doesn't mean everything works out great. Everything is rosy. It just means God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his word. And I love the fact that Alexander wanted it to be based on his giving, not on the need that was there. Warren Wiersbe said this, "Giving is not something we do, but something we are." Are you a generous person? Do your friends know you as a generous person? Or is that just something you do? It's just something you check off the list. All right, I was generous today. Sometimes we can go through life with such blinders on that we forget to look around and see opportunities for us to give. I love it when I see people that I'm with who are paying attention to what's happening around them and possibly meeting a need that no one even asked a question. They just saw it and they wanted to help. That's genuine generosity. And we must do those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Very familiar area of scripture. We'll pick up in verse 6. Paul says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So what Paul's saying here, listen, farmers don't drop a couple seeds and expect to have a whole crop. They drop a lot of seed hoping for a good crop. So the more you sow, the more you plant, the more you will reap. Verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." See, there's the plan. "Not grudgingly or of necessity," not being told to do it or made to do it. Listen, it's the time of year, the end of year, where everybody's going to ask you for money. Tax-free giving, now's the time. Be mindful of this. "Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." See the return? "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men." Notice liberal. "And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Guys, that's a great area of scripture to really read and meditate on. There's a lot that's going on in there, but it's a reminder to us that we're to be givers. That we are to be generous people. God has given us so much and God has blessed us so much, and we might not think so. We look at other people around us and think, well, they have more than me. Do you know that the poorest person in the United States has more money than other people in all the world? We are rich, even if we have very little. And God doesn't set up a minimum. He just says, be faithful in what is little, and you will be faithful in much. Be faithful in what you have. Be a generous person. God will make sure it comes back to you. Paul points out three principles here to show why we're to give. Number one, givers are blessed. Verses 6 and 10. "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And then in verse 10, "Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown." So we see, we're blessed for doing it. We're blessed for giving in that way. See, we just spent Christmas giving gifts. Most of us gave a gift to a loved one. I would imagine everyone on this. And do you get joy when you see some of your loved ones open a gift that you gave to them? Do you love it when your kids smile, "Oh, I've always wanted this"? Or maybe your spouse does that. I don't know. But the joy that we get to see that we've blessed them in that way. Do you know that that pales in comparison to when we give to the Lord? See, it says God loves a cheerful giver, not a reluctant giver, not an abundant giver, just a cheerful one. Just one that's happy. I've many times brought out the word that the word cheerful there is the same word we get for hilarious. So on your way out, as you drop money in the box, start laughing. Yeah, there you go. That's good practice. No, God loves cheerful giver, and God loves it, and he's joyed when we give because we're giving it a gift to him. It's a joy for him. It's a joy for him. Not only do the givers are blessed, receivers' needs are met. We're meeting people's needs. People that are praying to God, people that are asking the Lord, please show up in my life. God, please show me that you're there. We might be that person that God uses to transform someone's life and meet a need. And then lastly, the verse 13 and 15, there's glory that goes to God. There's thanksgiving that goes to God. When you meet a need and someone goes, thank God, are you blessed for that? I don't want the thanks. We shouldn't get the thanks. God should get the thanks because it's his anyway. We're just passing it on and being able to bless others. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he what? He gave. God showed us that he was a giver. He showed us. And we're to be followers of his. We're to be his children. So we need to be giving as well. God has given so much. Are you being generous in return? Are you being generous in return? Look at this verse here. This is Jesus speaking. We've all read this verse. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Have you ever opened up a bag of potato chips? It's not full, is it? It's like one third. It's like I wanted a full bag of potato chips. Well, what God says is, you know what? If you give, I'm going to give back to you. And I'm going to take the bag of potato chips. I'm going to make sure I shake it till it all settles, and I'm going to put more in. Press it down. Full bag of potato chips. That's what God's going to give to you. Is that enough? Guys, it is. What we have is enough. I know at the end of our lives, we're not going to say, wish I had more money in my account. We're going to say, I wish I had given more. I wish I had done more for people. Now is the time to do it. Now is the time to be giving. I want us to look at 2019 and say, Lord, if there's one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to be more generous because you are so generous to me. Because if you look back on 2018, you'll see God's faithfulness in your life. I don't know if you journal all the stressful things that God got you through in 2018, but they're there. You know, when you thought you weren't going to pay the rent, or when you thought you weren't going to be able to send your kid to school, and all of a sudden the resources were there. God's faithful. As we look to the future, let's be faithful. Let's see this year of recovery. Let's see this restoration that God is going to give to us. The last thing I want to show you is this idea. I found this in an article. There's a generosity spectrum. Because I want us to be careful. As being generous people doesn't mean you just blindly give to anybody. You have to have discernment. You have to have discernment because everybody's going to want your money. But you want to put your money where God wants you to put your money. There's four different types of givers. The first one are takers. Generosity spectrum. Takers, people in this world that only want to get from you, that only want to take. They don't want you to be blessed by it. They don't want you to see you receive anything for it. They just want to take from you. They see everything and every interaction as an opportunity to advance their own interests. This is something that we as a church have to watch out for. There are so many people in this world that want to take, that just want to get. Didn't think I was going to say this, but last night I received an email from a parent of one of the people in our church asking me to buy an iTunes gift card because they couldn't buy it for their family. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. So I email back, what do you need? Well, if you could just buy $300 in iTunes gift cards and take pictures of them and send them back to me. See, you guys are smarter than me. You're already onto it. And I'm thinking, okay. I mean, I trusted this person. And I thought, okay, well, this is kind of odd. They wanted it for a birthday present for their niece. So I emailed it back. How are you going to pay me back? leave me back. Oh, don't worry, when I get back in town, I'll pay you. And then I started going, this just doesn't seem right. So I emailed back and said, what's the name of your niece again? To which they replied back, some named Debbie, which I knew wasn't their niece. It's amazing to me the people out there that are takers. We have to be careful. See, being generous doesn't mean you just give to anybody. You got to have discernment. So there's takers. The next one, matchers. Oh, I'll give to you, but I make sure you're going to give me something back. Okay? I'm going to give to you, but I want something back. They can give as good as they get, but they expect something in return. And this is where I think a lot of us can make a mistake, even as believers, that when we give to someone, we expect something back. We expect the thank you. We expect the car. We expect, oh, thank you so. Don't expect it. See, God says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you give, if you can give it anonymously, praise God. Give it in the name of Jesus. But watch out. There are people out there that are matchers. The next one is self-protective givers. They're generous, but they know their limits. Instead of saying yes to every help request, they look for a high impact, they look for high impact ways of giving so that they can sustain their generosity and enjoy it for the long run. See, self-protective givers aren't giving to everybody. They know the resources that they've already planned to give, and they're going to be very particular about who they give to. Because the last one, though it seems like it would be the one we should all be, selfless givers. Selfless givers have high concern for others, but low concern for themselves. Seems okay, but they set few or no boundaries, which make them especially vulnerable to takers. See, if we give to everybody and don't take care of self, we're going to burn out and won't be able to give any longer. So the thing to be is that self-protective giver. Be a giving person. Pastor Chuck used to always say this, always err on the side of grace. When you don't know what to do, maybe you shouldn't do anything. But if you give, there's no harm, there's no foul, because you've done what you believe is right in your heart. But have discernment. Ask God, because you don't want to just give to everybody. But to have that heart of giving is important. See, we should give as God asks us to. Not as the emails you get or not as the TV programs you see. You give as the Lord leads you. And that's someone who's always asking God, this is all yours, Lord. What do you want me to do with it? Again, 10% minimum goes to his house. For it says in Malachi, you all have heard this. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that will not be room enough to receive it. Anybody want that? We all want the blessings. Oh, Lord, open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me. He said, make sure you give to the house of God. That's first and foremost. And above and beyond that needs to be, Lord, 10% is what you want minimum. I have 90% left. It's still yours. What do you want me to do with it? Don't neglect your bills. Don't neglect taking care of your children. See, I think sometimes we can make a mistake on the side of selfless givers and give so much that we're sacrificing other things. I think it's an absolute tragedy that senior pastors neglect their spouse and their families because of ministry. We have to do things in balance. We have to do things under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So do things as God tells you. One day we will all stand before God, and he's going to open up his big checkbook and check the balances. Are we going to be glad for all the things that we gave? I hope we are. See, God has a right to dictate your life because why? He owns everything. He owns you. For example, you created a child, right? If you're a parent, you created a child. You are the one that sets the rules, I hope. Some don't. You are the one that's supposed to set the rules. You are the one that guides and directs your child. You are the owner of that child, and you have the right to raise your child. But you don't have the right to raise your neighbor's child, do you? Just your child. So if you are a child of God, God is the one that dictates who you give to. He dictates your life. You belong to him. We have surrendered our lives to Christ. We are servants of his. Is that the attitude that we have? God created you, so therefore he owns you. But the great thing about him, his ownership, is he comes from a heart of love. He loves us. He loves you. That's why he died for you. He gave everything for you. He did it in a loving, non-controlling way. The last thing I want to share. Winston Churchill said this, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." All of this needs to come up under the heart of prayer. God, show me. Give as the Lord guides. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. I feel like in 2019, we're going to see God restore a whole bunch of things that I feel he's recovered us from in 2018. And I'm believing that. I'm believing that. Someone sent to me Psalm 23. Excuse me. I just read it this morning, and it just brought me to tears, because when I read this, this line right here, Psalm 23, I'll just read it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And this is it. "He restores my soul." Guys, some of us in this room need our souls restored. Maybe 2018 was a year of defeat. Maybe 2018 was a year of just heavy load, heavy burden, a lot of responsibilities. You're exhausted. Let's believe, not only in the church, but in your life, God's going to restore. God's going to restore those years the locusts have eaten away. Don't lose hope in a God who's willing to open up the windows of heaven and pour blessings upon us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just reminding us, Lord, that you are the greatest giver in all of the universe. The way you give, Lord, how you've given. We know we don't deserve it. And maybe that's some area where we may struggle, that we feel like we only give to those who deserve it. God, give us discernment. We admit that we lack wisdom. And so we ask you to give us that heavenly wisdom, Lord, to do what's right with the things that you've given to us. For as we learn today, you own everything, and you even own us. So as 2019 quickly approaches, God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives, that we would see you do amazing things in us and through us. Make us into the men and women that you want us to be. And then let us make those changes and impacts on people around us, Lord. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a neighbor that you want to touch. Lord, may we be found faithful to be used by you. To you be the glory and praise, in Jesus' name. Amen.